Welcome to FemLead, the podcast on female leadership and role models. Prepare to feel inspired and better equipped to navigate your career path. I am Alexandra Chabotaru, your host, and together with my guests, we will tackle a new field of work in each episode. The aim of this podcast is to deep dive into career perspectives and strategies to navigate your desired path for success. Enjoy! Welcome to season two of FemLead Podcast. Wow, it has been such a journey. Thank you so much for following us. And I truly hope that you are inspired to take charge of your next career move. In 2020, we interviewed 9 amazing female role models, and we shared 9 pieces of content that we've received so much positive feedback on. We're really, really grateful for that. And we do hope that you will continue to follow us in 2021 across all social media channels, listen to all the interviews, and share your questions and feedback with us. Very soon, we will launch a Patreon page where you can continue to support the production of this podcast. Again, thanks a lot for following us. And without further ado, let the second season begin. My next guest is the director of platform of BMW iVentures. She focuses on developing and implementing strategic growth initiatives for BMW iVentures portfolio companies. Leveraging the unique strengths of BMW ecosystem, the goal of this effort is to establish transformative partnerships and help the portfolio companies succeed and scale. Before joining BMW iVentures, she worked as a senior innovation and new business manager within the telecommunications and media industry, as well as a management consultant. She is a mission-driven leader and a strong advocate of sustainable and responsible venture capital investing. Without further ado, please welcome Suhaila Ufata. Welcome, Suhaila, and what an honor to have you here.
Hey, Alexandra. It's great to be here with you.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I want to start right by asking you to provide more information about who Suhaila is. Maybe tell us a bit more about yourself, your path, and how did you start in the VC world?
Yeah, I'd love to. So I'm in the venture and startup ecosystem now for over 10 years. And I always say that I ended up here accidentally. What I mean with this is that I always had a strong passion for technology and innovation, and was always at sort of these type of roles in my professional career, working with startups in the telecommunications industry with a strong focus on the Israeli ecosystem, then sort of working in the media business, and now for 6 years with BMW iVentures, where I have a strong focus on the mobility ecosystem. And this is sort of the connection between all of these roles. But I say accidentally, because when I studied or when I had the first steps in my career as a management consultant, I never planned to be part of the startup ecosystem. It developed with an opportunity, as it often is in life, an opportunity back at a time to work with a telecommunications company that had started to acquire a lot of startups. And I needed support on that end to actually get then the most out of those acquisitions by launching products and services together with the acquired startup. And that's where the friction back at the point in time had been, because the two worlds kind of clashed. And ever since, I love the space. It's extremely interesting jobs. You're always at the edge of new things. It's sort of almost like you're looking towards the future and you're being an active part in developing sort of new business models and future ecosystems. And that's where my passion really lies. And I guess that describes best why I am where I am right now.
And when it comes to who you are personally, I would love to hear more about your story, because I listened to some podcasts where you were invited, and I think you had a very nice introduction to your path generally, from, you know, where you grew up to where you came now.
So best way to sort of describe my story and my background is maybe to start where my parents come from and what my sort of journey has been. So I was born and raised in Germany, and my parents are from Moroccan descent. So I was very fortunate to grow up in an ecosystem which was very international, spoke several languages in the family. And I've always seen this as an enriching experience. But at the same time, it also comes with all of the challenges that might arise from living in a country, in an ecosystem where sort of the early stages of diversity are developing, if you'd wanted to say so. So it was a blessing for me, for sure, but it also came with certain challenges. This is sometimes sort of been described when you have a, you know, different background and you sort of trying to figure out what your future way will be. I was very fortunate in a way where once I started my studies, I was given a great scholarship that allowed me to tap into a lot of new opportunities and sort of look beyond my horizon. I was always quite driven in terms of being eager to make the most out of it. And this might come with a family background and with the fact that sort of my parents came to Germany and sort of quite entrepreneurial, built their careers here. And this is something that you sort of learn from the get-go, from the start, I would say. And with that scholarship that I was granted in my studies, I was passionate had said to myself that I want to make the most out of it. And in my specific case, that meant that I went into the tech space and started my career at a large consulting company, which had a strong focus and footprint in the tech space. And that for me was the best choice. Tech wasn't as big as it is now. Back at the time, this was kind of unusual path, but it provided me with so many opportunities. And I mentioned the international background, because if you look at the real opportunities where the career really jump-started, it always had to do with that background. So once I was in the telco space, I benefited very much from the fact that I came from a very diverse background and had the opportunity and what it was needed to work with companies from another country and another ecosystem, adapt really quickly. So I was able to actually tap into the resources, what I had learned, given my background. And this paved my way into the startup space, as mentioned before, kind of an accident that turned out to be really, really good for my career.
I really love that you've mentioned that. And I really want to provide, through this podcast, role models for people from all walks of life that listen to us from everywhere around the world, and they could see themselves in a career progression that can take them wherever they want. And I really wanted you to mention that, because I know that we sometimes have this, you know, biases of what does it mean to work, for example, in the VC world? What are some of those points that you must take, right? And I would love to maybe ask you a bit about what is your stance on the VC world right now? How do you think the VC world has been, developing in the last few years? And what do you think the future will bring us?
So it's a quite broad question. So I'm trying to focus sort of on just certain aspects, such as obviously venture capital has been on the growth path over the last year as the importance of technologies from the startup world is increasing constantly. Take a look right now within the pandemic, the big winners are the tech companies, and it's a wider transformational process in almost every industry. So as part of being the fuel for this transformation, the venture capital world obviously is growing very fast in different segments in the venture world, from the traditional financially driven VCs to the corporate venture capital arms. But when it comes to where I still see room for growth, and improvement, it is definitely the diversity aspect. And connecting what I've said before to this, I'd say, you know, if you're really interested in the venture capital space and you'd like to make tap into the industry, there are a lot of different ways to become a venture capitalist. It is not an easy space to get into, because it's a very hyped and at the moment a lot of people trying to tap into a career in this space. But if you are really young and sort of still studying, I would definitely say a good way to get started and have the first experience are internships. Typically, they are the funnel, and this is where people sort of preferably hire, because it makes sense. You know the people already. It's not as risky. If you come from a completely different space with having had no experience in the financial world or in the startup world, it can be challenging to tap into a venture role. But it doesn't mean, depending on what your focus is, whether you wanted to make investments or whether you wanted to be in an operational role, large venture funds have a lot of different roles. So that makes an overall difference. But I would just generally say there is no just single way to become a venture capitalist. The days of just having former investment bankers being venture capitalists are kind of over. There are a lot of great venture capitalists that have come from entrepreneurial background as well as other backgrounds. And when it comes to the diversity need in a venture capital space, that is enormous because it's still not reflecting all of the diversity we have in our society. It's still a world which is unfortunately at the moment, and we're now in 2020, very male driven. And let's hope if this recording lasts long, 10 years from now, we will see lots of change, because that change is needed. If you want to take high risk decisions and really invest in the best business models out there, you need to view at these business models from different perspectives and have different opinions involved in the decision making process. And this will never happen if it's just the same type of people that would come to the same type of conclusions. And this is where the real risk is with having non-diverse venture capital teams when it comes to the success of their business endeavors.
Very well said, and a very important topic to tackle from leaders such as yourself. I would be very curious to continue by asking you, what does your current role at BMW iVentures entails, and how do you promote this mission of diversity in your case?
Yes, of course. We're the venture capital arm of the BMW Group, and we invest out of a 500 million euro venture capital fund into the future of mobility and transportation. We back purpose-driven entrepreneurs that are developing companies at the intersection of hardware, software, and sustainability. So our investment areas are areas such as autonomous driving, electrification, but also a couple of sustainable themes, such as circular economy, for example. We are a late stage fund and on average invest per ticket $3 to $5 million. We are headquartered in the Silicon Valley with an additional office here in Europe where I'm based. And by now we have over 50 investments and are quite well known in the industry as one of the most active investors in mobility and transportation. And my role in the team is leading the platform, which bundles all of the activities, all of the value add that we offer to the startups that we invest in. And this is everything that goes beyond the investment. So I start to work with the companies once we invested in them. And my job is to help them grow and succeed. And we have a strong focus on partnerships. These partnerships can encompass working directly with the BMW Group as a client, but also with the wider automotive ecosystem, as well as with companies outside of the industry. As we are a late stage fund, partnering is in the core of our platform strategy, but we also deliver a lot of other value to our companies as we are sort of brokering the relationship to the BMW Group, and our focus is on tapping into the assets and that are offered through the large network the BMW Group offers to the startups that we invest in. And that is a quite interesting role. It's different every day. A lot of funds have these platform roles, and I'm always explaining what it is about for us, because it's different. If you're an early stage fund, the platform folks have a different strategy and have a different focus and different backgrounds rather than if you a late stage fund. So it's a very interesting job and it's never boring. Every day is different.
Thank you so much for clarifying and also for sharing more about BMW iVenture and generally the setup that you've created, because it is, like you said, a very big player and a very important important fund for the mobility space. I would like to continue by talking a bit about the industry of mobility, because we all know the brand BMW, and you've now explained the venture capital, you've explained the setup of the platform, and I would want to know, what are your thoughts on how this field evolves?
So it's, again, a very broad question, depends on what we look at, but obviously there is a very strong development globally
towards a more sustainable sort of use of technologies. And that hits the mobility industry as well. This is why I've been advocating for a change in the industry now for years. Probably I can say before this gone completely mainstream. And if you look into the future of mobility, I'm a firm believer that they will see a lot of sustainable mobility offerings becoming more and more successful, because we all know that we have climate targets to achieve, which are very ambitious, where we'll just need to see a lot of change. And this change will come with a more efficient use of different mobility offerings, with the different modalities, as we would say, because the era of the one car, one person might change, but this might change in certain environments. So you cannot expect, as I'm always saying, for someone that lives in the countryside not to use a vehicle, because they heavily depend on it. But if you live in a city, which is very dense, with tons of traffic jam, maybe it's not even fun and it doesn't make sense. And maybe, using vehicles that are more efficiently used in terms of sharing them with other passengers, or having different types of modality, a mix, micro mobility, public transportation, and so on, that might then lead not just to being the smarter mobility choice, but also the more sustainable mobility choice. And I think we'll see a lot of development in this space. Obviously, the future, and that is sort of determined and clear yet, will be electrified and autonomous. This is sort of one part of the transformation that we're seeing right now. So that's also why I'm in this space active. It's just super interesting. There's a lot of change happening at the same time. We are all now struck by this massive disruption through the pandemic. And that itself has changed a lot in the mobility space, and yet it will be, we have to wait and see whether these changes will last for a longer time period. And I'm talking about the fact that, during the hottest part of the pandemic, or the most stressed part of the pandemic, people were reluctant to use public transport anymore. The need and security that came with having your personal vehicle increased in the mindset of the people that had to move around. And this might be just short-term changes, but we shouldn't underestimate how the behavior changes if it's tested at such a long time. So it's hard to make predictions right now, because we have to see what happens after the pandemic. But surely once we want to achieve the climate targets ahead of us, there needs to be a lot of change in the transportation mobility space in terms of how we use the different types of modalities.
Thank you so much for your thoughts on that. I want to continue by talking about women and the VC world, and more specifically, women-led businesses and the VC world. Before I ask you a question that I would like to give your input on, I want to share with the listeners some women in VC numbers. This is something that I researched, and it looks like this. Women-led businesses, which make up to just 20% of venture capital-backed companies, took in $46.3 billion in capital last year, according to the latest data from PitchBook. That's more than twice the $22 billion female entrepreneurs got the year before, and more than 15 times the $3 billion awarded to them in 2010. Despite the positive trend, women remain grossly underrepresented, not only as VC-backed entrepreneurs, but as venture capitalists themselves. While women VCs are most likely to invest in female founders, men still dominate the VC world. And this is probably not a surprise to anybody. My question to you would be, what are your thoughts about the women-led businesses and the VC world? And how can we promote this field and attract more women to this field?
Well, first of all, it is important that we A, talk about it, but also B, make very transparent what needs to change. I'm not a believer in just complaining about or just pointing out setups which aren't right. There are commercial disadvantages that come with the fact that certain industries are not diverse in general. And this is not just about having more women, but having people with diverse backgrounds in general. And it is clearly being shown that if we have more decision makers,
For example, in the venture capital space, there are women, and they tend to invest more in women-led businesses. We all are, you know, influenced by stereotypes and bias that we are not aware of. So this is not about judging whether why do male VCs not invest in sort of more women, but it's more acknowledging what solutions could be. And one solution definitely could be to focus on having more female VCs. That means we have to make sure that the pipeline on the hiring side includes more female candidates. And just overall, overcoming the stigma that comes along with how a good founder should look like. This is very much old school thinking, and thinking that a good founder needs to be male from an Ivy League university and sort of somehow look like Zuckerberg. That is not the reality anymore. And then I also want to make a point for taking a look into the Black female community. If you look into Black female founders, you'll find interesting stats showing that Black female founders emphasize strongly on impact when it comes to their endeavors, to their entrepreneurial endeavors. They apparently have a strong focus on building businesses that have a value for the entire community. There's so much potential. They're so heavily underrepresented, receive very, very little funding and make a lot out of the funding that they receive, that this is actually a very interesting business opportunity. And that's where I'd like to steer the conversation. It is not just about saying only what is wrong, but coming up with concrete solutions. And actually, I hear from a lot of VCs, all of male VCs as well, that they really, very much want to change this, that they are very much interested in wanting to hire, but struggle to find a qualified woman. And I always say that I don't believe, because there are a lot of talented, qualified women out there. And if it's that easy to find them, then you need to work harder and you need to make sure that your job ads out there also attract women. And that is something, a change that needs to happen in the industry. It's just outdated how a lot of venture funds are set up.
Thank you. Thank you for your thoughts on this. I couldn't agree more with the need of more diversity. And I'm very honored that we can discuss this with you and hear your thoughts on it. When it comes to navigating different cultural settings, you yourself have moved around quite a bit, and you've had some very nice opportunities to travel the world and work with different teams. What did you learn about navigating the VC world and having so many and entering so many different cultural settings? Are there any lessons that we should all be aware of?
Well, I don't know if I would narrow this down to only the VC world. I mean, generally in business, if you travel, if you connect with people, it's always important to be aware of the cultural context that you're part of. And you know what? If you don't know, just ask. If you're dealing with having to manage a team from another continent, you might want to make sure that you understand the basic cultural traits, not to offend anyone, but also make the most out of managing that team. And I would say generally, I have always appreciated the opportunity of being able to travel a lot, meet a lot of people from different cultural backgrounds and learn. You know, there's much that I picked up through my work with US teams. A lot of pragmatism and just getting things done. Different to a very German culture where it's a lot of focus on precision and making things perfect. And all of that has its benefits. But I'm always saying, I'm trying to keep my eyes and my ears open no matter where I am. And I'm trying to learn from the best. And the best you can find in every setup, in every context. And actually, in my experience, I learned most in situations where I wasn't expecting it at all.
Very, very well said. On that note, linking with the VC world, for those of our listeners who are actually considering entering this world, and let's say they're not necessarily students, what would be the most important factor for them to consider before, or when entering this world?
I mean, we spoke about having clarity about one's individual's USP, and that I would say clearly is the case. So let's make a case. Let's say we're talking about someone that comes from the health space, clearly a space that's picking up now massively post-pandemic. We'll see massive growth from the health space, also from the startup context. And let's say it's someone with very deep industry expertise. That might be your USP when you talk to a fund that wants to enter the space. That doesn't make you a good investor yet, and it is hard to enter the VC space without any prior knowledge. This is definitely not an industry where it's easy to make a switch on if you already are professional. But I'd say if you're in the early stages of your career, that is most certainly possible. And also there are a lot of folks from an entrepreneurial background that enter the space. So depending on who you are, what you know, and what is needed. So for every professional interview you ever have, you have to think of what is it that this particular employer is really looking for? What is their strategy? Where do they want to go? How do I fit in with my unique knowledge? And we're living in an all digital world where you can pick up so much knowledge, where you can learn new things. And we are not in a space anymore where you just choose one career and you stay in that space forever. You constantly learn. And VC companies, depending on their size, have a bunch of people in their teams, experts that they need. I know, for example, there's a ton of funds that bring in non-VCs with a deep industry expertise, though, as venture partners. A venture partner role is more like a freelance role where you support a fund mainly focused on deal flow, generating deal flow in a certain geography, which can be combined with industry expertise, deep industry expertise. So this may be a step for folks that might be in an industry, in a corporate job or in any other job where they have deep industry expertise and are interested to tap a bit into the venture space. So that can be also a form. So what I'm trying to say, if you really have a passion for becoming a venture capitalist, if this is what you want, there's no unique recipe how to do it, but you just have to pursue it. This is a space that works with a lot of different people and it has a lot of folks from different backgrounds, and you just have to pursue that dream. But you have to rather have clarity on why you want this. Honestly, Alexandra, the VC space as well as the startup space is so hyped. It is combined with so much glamour that there are a ton of people that are just saying, I want to be a VC, but why? Why do you want to become a VC? And are you really aware of how this job works and what it requires, how demanding it is, and does it really fit your skill set? So what are you really good in? What is your clear USP? What can you make with those skills? And I rather tend to believe that it's important to understand what it is that you really want to see in the world changing through your work, rather than just catching up new opportunities. And this is one of the biggest lessons I learned in my career. So early on in the career, it's rather like, oh, I think I can do everything. I feel like I'm a generalist. Let's just take that opportunity, whatever comes your way. You're just picking up the opportunity. There's nothing wrong about that at the beginning. But as you develop over time, it becomes more critical to have a strategic thinking about your career and what it is that you want to do. What's your path? What is the change you may want to bring to this world? What are your strengths? Because this will then bring you on a route to fulfilling your purpose. And this will become for surely for most of us more important over time. And I've seen so many people frustrated with their job because they just stick in an environment for a long time. They don't know why they are there, why they're doing what they're doing. And that frustration and that unhappiness with your job has as a source often that you actually don't know what you want, what your strengths are, what your potential pathways are.
You touch on many, many, many great pieces of advice and, you know, things to consider when you look for a job because it looks posh or you think it's glamorous and it's cool to have that on your CV. And the fact that you've mentioned understand firstly what the job entails and what does that role would mean for you and how would it impact your life, I think it's really, really important. Because, you know, asking peers or talking with people in the industry or searching on Google and seeing what does it say when you look at job ads and so on could really make a difference. And I'm very happy you've mentioned it. Moving into the career path advice area, I would want to touch upon an example or maybe lessons from one of those challenging situations that you had to go through. Is there any situation that was really, you know, hard on you or something that you really felt changed perspective? And what did you learn from it?
Wow, honestly, there are so many, obviously, because, you know, it's not the times in life or career generally that are amazing where you're like, oh gosh, I learned so much. It is the times where things go really bad or you have a very tough time where at the end, if you get out of it, you will have learned most. You know, the Buddhists say when there is an obstacle your way, you should welcome it because it's an opportunity to grow and learn. So looking at the career, it was kind of the same. So I just want to touch up on a couple of very, you know, just a few examples and saying that obviously there's been more experience. One lesson I learned is if you don't like the ecosystem, the system that you are part of, and that specifically speaks to folks that are listening in the corporate space, because these are large ecosystems, always like an organism itself. If you're not happy in that organism that you're part of, that larger system, leave it. You cannot change that system to make you happy. And I see a lot of people struggling with this. And you know what? This is an advice, speaking back on referring on what I said before, you sometimes learn things in situations where you don't expect them. This is what I heard and learned this from a priest who clearly said you need to leave them. And I thought about it more and more. And in what I've seen in my career is these are environments that make people sick and unhappy. And if you are in a setup, in a situation where the entire system around you is against your values, against what you want, against who you are, just leave the system. There are so many opportunities out there, and there is no point in wasting your own energy and sort of being in an inner stretch where you feel that this is going against your values. And I had made those decisions in my life where I knew that an ecosystem is just not right for me anymore. I don't believe in the business strategy, or I don't buy into the culture anymore. This is not representing my values. And I've made those decisions in my career, and they were for the better. I've been very successful afterwards, and I'm happy that I didn't remain in those contexts. Another lesson I want to share here is it is very easy to judge. And that is something that is not just in business, also in private life. How often do you guys think, oh gosh, this person is horrible, or this boss of mine doesn't know what he's doing or what she's doing. And I know so much more. And, you know, this again is creating some very negative internal processes. Okay, I'm a yogi. I have to admit, and there's probably very much influenced by my yoga practice. But I think it is very important at least to try not to judge too much. There's always a reason why a person is at a certain point in their life. Everyone has a personal story. There's always a reason why people act in a certain way. And even sometimes for people that I had to deal with where I felt, oh gosh, it is so tough to work with them, I sometimes even come up with small tricks, like just imagining them as children. They have been once a child. They have been once lovely. They have been once positive. And these are the small tricks that I use when I realize that I'm judging. And that is the most natural way. This is how we sort our reality. This is how we go through life. But if you are in a situation where you realize you're judging heavily, maybe you want to just stop holding on and say, okay, let me try to look at this situation without judging.
So thoughtful. Thank you so much. We got a couple of also tips and tricks on how to approach a situation that might be challenging. And I think, you know, generally speaking, when we have the interview and when we talk about reflections, I feel like all of my guests have had some very important points, but at the same time, I hear it over and over again to a certain extent. What you just said about trying to fix an environment or change an environment that's so big and so expanded, such as a corporation or, you know, just the ecosystem that it is, I really feel that, you know, some people don't understand how to get out of it. And I'm not telling anybody to leave their corporate jobs, but if you're unhappy and you don't know what to change, well, maybe there's nothing that you can change at this current setup. So maybe consider what other options are there. And I'm happy you mentioned that because I feel sometimes people feel that that's it. Like, I'm not able to leave this place. I'm just going to be stuck here forever. And it's really not the case. And I'm really thankful that you've mentioned all of the different scenarios that you had to go through and how did you approach them. Linked to that, what was the biggest surprise of your career?
Biggest surprise? Oh gosh, what was the biggest surprise of my career? You know, look, I'd like to answer this in a different way because I can't, like, if something surprises you, that means that you have thought it needs to go in a completely different direction. You had planned ahead and then, oh, all of a sudden, surprise, things go differently. This isn't really representing who I am. You know what? I wake up every day excited. That is just the mindset of mine. It's like every day I'm waking up, like, awesome, another great day ahead, everything can happen. And it's kind of a youthful excitement that I purposefully keep because that opens up all of the opportunities for me for whatever I can learn that day. So I can't really say that there were certain situations where I felt super surprised, but rather keeping the mindset of excitement daily is what I'm trying to cultivate in my career. Mm.
I love the optimism and the positivity that comes just from saying those few sentences. And like you said, you've mentioned that you do yoga, for example. And, you know, I think maybe linked to that, the choice of lifestyle, of course, matters because it does give you maybe a different perspective. If you're always on the run and if you always eat the sandwich because you must be in a call in another 10 minutes versus if you give yourself the time to reflect and think about how exciting it is that I'm doing all of this different projects and I'm investing in this new ideas, it will for sure impact the way that you see life. And I'm very happy you brought it up this nice way of saying that you wake up excited every morning. Is there any advice that you would have for those who want to follow in your path?
What kind of advice? You know, let's keep that independent of my path because, well, you know what? I think everyone has their own path and needs to figure out their own path. Any advice for folks that would like to seek a venture capital career, as mentioned before, you know, try to develop a very deep industry expertise if possible. If you're early on in your career, try to gather experience by joining venture capital funds and, you know, internship positions and sort of make your way into this career. But overall, generally, I think that the most important advice when people ask me early on in their career or even before they choose what they should study is look into what will matter in the future. What will drive our economy, our society? And they clearly in 2020, we can say that there is no path without technology and it makes no sense to be, you know, potentially if you have an interest and talent in the space, to not look into a career that has at least some basic understanding of technology or what drives our world. If you have passion in this space, obviously I'd say go for it because that's going to help you to develop a very, very, very attractive career. But generally, that is just in terms of industry setup. In terms of career choices, I clearly think it's important to develop that understanding of your strength and where you actually fit in. And I understand that it's very hard in the beginning of your career. I at least felt,
that I didn't have real overview. I was like, oh, I could do this or maybe this. I didn't know. Back at the time, everyone who had kind of good grades were went either into the investment banking career or a consulting career. And the good news is nowadays it's different. There are a lot of other career tracks that you can pursue. The venture capital and the startup space is just one of them. Specifically, if you're young, you're hungry, you're ambitious, you're not afraid of change in your life, these are great environments to thrive in. And I would also say it is great to make a lot of experience. I always say I have learned most from the things that I tried out and didn't like, and specifically when I was a student with German background, it's kind of tradition here that you take a lot of internship positions while you're studying within your semester breaks. And in my case, I did a lot, gathered experience in areas that clearly helped me to decide later on what I didn't want it to do. And this was very, very valuable itself. So a mixture between trying and testing out a lot of different things as long as you can and have the freedom to do that, but then reflecting up on your experiences and match that with what you think you are really good at. That might be something I'd say.
Hmm. So Hayla, you've shared so many pieces of advice that are very, very thoughtful and very on point for either, you know, students or young professionals, but also seniors and experienced professionals who maybe want to step into the VC world. To sum up with, what do you wish you knew at the beginning of your career?
I wish, looking back, I would say I wish I would have taken things easier, with more ease, and not be as dramatic, be focused, sort of just career. I was so ambitious. I so wanted to make it. And I thought that every decision that I'm making is so important in terms of, okay, well, if I take this career path now, I'm probably, you know, have to think 5 years ahead, 10 years ahead. And you know what? The interview processes we have don't help. Like old school interviewers still ask you, where do you want to be in 5 years? It's a stupid question. Nobody knows nowadays where they're going to be in 5 years, what opportunities come their way, how this might match their skill set, and so on. So what I learned, and you know, if I could tell my younger self, is take things easier, enjoy the work that you do without that belief that every decision you make is really going to have massive consequences on your future career. Because I changed career path. There are other folks that change career path over and over. I never thought that I'd be in the venture capital space when I started my career. Frankly speaking, I didn't even know about the venture capital space much. So when I started after my studies, to me, it was okay. It's consulting. So everyone goes into consulting. And I still hear that nowadays, by the way, from young students that they think, oh, I guess I have to do consulting because everyone does consulting. No, you don't. There are so many opportunities out there. And even if you don't decide to go in the consulting space or the corporate space or whatsoever, it doesn't mean you take in a decision for your entire life. It's just a sort of period. And if you then reflect up on your entire life and career, it's such a long path, and a certain situation or a decision for just a year or 6 months or 3 years, it's a period of time. It's not the entire experience. And putting things into perspective sometimes helps. And then when I'm asked often, you know, specifically folks reach out to me when they struggle in their careers and have certain conflicts, these types of situations, I always say, well, if you now put this into perspective for your entire career, how important is this conflict? How important is this person you have the conflict with? Is that really going to matter? And that ease in thinking is something that came over time. And looking back, I wish I would have had that from the beginning.
Mm. So Hayla, what a beautiful way of ending this conversation. I had really a great time discussing with you, not only about the VC world, but also about advice and learnings from your career path. And I'm sure your learnings have inspired many to consider their careers and the way they look at their progression. So thank you so much for taking the time.
It was great to be here with you. Thank you, Alessandra.
Thank you all for listening. I hope you've enjoyed this episode as much as I did. And stay tuned for more updates from FemLead with inspiring female role models. I hope you felt inspired to take charge of your next career move. Remember to review this podcast and share your comments. Thank you.